Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 117 and a half. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffey is not with me right now. He is sitting back at home in Las Vegas, where I will be in just a few hours right now. I am back here at the Host Hotel, the Renaissance Waterford, where we've been in Oklahoma City all week long for UFC Fight Night 112, Chiesa versus Lee. And I can tell you, I just walked into the lobby, and the lobby bar was shutting down, and everybody was kind of milling about there. And even a couple hours after it ended, the buzz is all about the main event. Was it controversial? Was it not controversial? What happened with Kevin Lee defeating Michael Chiesa by first round submission, a rear naked choke? And I gotta say, I don't know. Is that a cop out? That's a cop out. Man, here's the thing. This all comes down to the stoppage, right? Was Michael Chiesa out? Was he not out? Now, he insists I was not out. Definitely was not out. But of course, your brain doesn't recognize when you're going out. And, you know, anybody that's ever done that, that's been kind of choked unconscious, the first thing you say is, what happened? Because you don't know what happened. And so I have no doubt in my mind that Mike has no idea if he went out or not. If he did, there's no way he could register it. But I got to say that one moment where he stops fighting the hands, trying to pull them away from his neck, and it looks to me like his body goes a little bit limp and he's got his arms kind of out there a little bit. To me, I think that's out. I think that's out. Even just a split second, I think it's out. That said, I wish Mario Yamasaki hadn't stopped the fight. I wish he hadn't stopped the fight. I know fighter safety is important, and I'm hesitant to just bash Mario Yamasaki. I'm hesitant to say he screwed up. I mean, he's trying to keep fighter safety in mind, right? That's issue number one for him, fighter safety. And he sees a fighter going unconscious. He's not going to sit there and let him go fully out. I mean, what if Michael Chiesa flails his arms for a little while, you know, and he's out for an extended period of time, but it's just kind of out, not all the way out? Is that good to let it go if we're depriving his brain of the oxygen that it needs, and, you know, the blood flow that it needs? I don't know. I don't want to be one of those guys that sits on the fence, but I kind of understand everybody's point of view here. I understand why Kevin Lee says, listen, there's no controversy. His body went limp. He quit fighting the hands. I get that. Totally get where he's coming from. And I also get Michael Chiesa saying, hey, I was still there. And I mean, good Lord, two fights earlier, Justine Kish, who we'll talk about in a second. I mean, she's there's an easy joke there. I'm not going to make it. Okay, I'll just say it. She's getting the shit choked out of her, and she still stays in there. So, you know, it's a terrible situation, because Kevin Lee picks up the biggest win of his career, and now I think there's an asterisk next to it. I think people that already don't like Kevin Lee anyway, and there's always going to be people that don't like him. He's brash, he's cocky, he doesn't mind talking a little bit of trash. There's going to be people that don't like him. They've got ammunition now. They've got fuel. They can say, he didn't win that fight. No way he won that fight. Meanwhile, you know, Michael Chiesa feels like he got really robbed of an opportunity to move forward in his career. Believes he was, you know, here's his return from 14 months on the sidelines. He's got this headlining match. It's a big opportunity for him. You know, it's turned into a rivalry fight because everything that happened at the summer kickoff press conference. And now he feels like he's been utterly robbed of all that. And he said afterwards, man, listen, you got to understand, these decisions affect our lives. They impact our lives. And I'm not just talking about the money I'm missing. I'm not just talking about the win bonus. It affects our lives in so many ways. And he's right. He's right. But Mario Yamasaki's job is to be in there to protect those fighters. I just wish he would have let it go a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. I mean, we know that those chokes, you know, if monitored correctly, aren't causing anybody any permanent damage. It's not like an unconscious fighter who's getting beat on and taking big, big shots to the head. That's not happening. We're not worried about, you know, the brain damage and that sort of thing. So it's a bad, bad situation. Michael Chiesa came in afterwards. He was dejected. He certainly didn't hold himself back. He says, "Listen, I'm going to file a protest here." And you guys, if you've been following MMA for any length of time, you know these protests never, ever work. And I think he knows that too. And he's not necessarily have high hopes for getting it done. But all the same, he said, "I'm going to file a protest and try to do my due diligence here and see what I can do." So he was extremely critical of Mauro Yamasaki, as was Dana White. I'm sure you've seen by now that Dana basically took to social media to blast Mauro Yamasaki for his little heart hand gesture and said that he, called him Mario Mazzagatti. Of course, referencing Steve Mazzagatti, who was definitely not on Dana White's Christmas card list either. So, a shitty situation all the way around. We did talk to both main event fighters. There was not a press conference, but they did roll by the press room, and we did get a chance to talk to both of them. Let's start with Michael Chiesa. There may be an F-bomb or 17 in here. And he kind of apologized later and said he wishes he'd been a little bit more eloquent, but he was certainly pissed off. So here's what Mike Chiesa had to say after the loss at UFC Fight Night 112.
So there's a couple of things you probably want to get off your chest, given the controversy. I mean, we all saw it. The frustration was evident. What's your take on that?
Do you want the PG version?
Can you give it to him?
Fucking bullshit. I mean, let's just be honest. We saw two fights ago, Justine Kish was getting strangled for, what, like 2 minutes or something like that? I don't know. Here's what's frustrating is you put a guy who's just swirled in controversy in charge of a main event, you realize that this affects our lives. You know, and I'm not talking from a financial standpoint. I don't care about the money. You're talking, I win this fight, I go into the top five, I'm on the brink of a title shot. And you've seen the guys I fought. I've fought the best grapplers at lightweight, the best. And they've all had my back in round one, and I've gotten out every single time. Okay, I've studied my film on Kevin. It's a palm-to-palm RNC, an arm pump choke. I fight the hands when he's going RNC, switches palm-to-palm, shrink your shoulders in, flex your neck, get your elbows in. When he loosens up, you elbow down, turn in. I saw it was short time on the clock. I went to what I know, and the next thing I know, the fight's getting stopped. This is the main event. That's JV bullshit. I mean, that guy is too focused on being some kind of playboy in front of the cameras, making his little heart logos. Maybe he should go back and read the fucking rule book. And I'm not trying to sound like a poor sport, but it's really hard to be positive right now when I've been striving for this main event spot. And I get it, and I just feel like I just got fucking robbed. You know what I mean? It's hard not to feel that way. And, it's like, let's put away the opportunity that got taken away from me. I mean, now Kevin got a win. Technically, he's got a win over me. Swirled in controversy. That's taken away from him. And then the fans. You think the fans want to watch a main event on a Sunday night end like this? No. You know what I mean? It's just pathetic. I really feel like this is just like a shitty dream. I feel like this is like between the Joe Lowe's on fight I had and this. I'm like...
Have you had a chance to watch the replay yet? Because I think the one thing that everybody points to is there is a moment where it looks like your arms go a little bit limp or something. Have you seen it yet?
I watched him. I literally watched him come in and reach, and I was already like, no, you know what I mean? Like, I was fully coherent. And even at that, you let a guy go. If I'm going to go out, you let the guy go. You know what I mean? For real. I mean, watch the go. If you study, if you know Kevin Lee and you've seen his fights, go watch his fight with Ally Quinta. You see the choke he had Allen, palm to palm, same one I was in. See how long Al was in it? What happened? Al got out and won.
You think maybe that you were a victim of Mario, stopping fights too late recently, and he maybe was like, I gotta get on top of this one?
No, I think it was just a case of Mario just being a very poor official. I mean, that's just plain, I mean, that doesn't validate anything. Okay, so he's trying to make up for late stoppages. So now he wants to do early ones? Hashtag bring back Josh Rosenthal. For real. Let's get some real good officials back in there. Let's get Dan Mergliotta in there. Let's get the good officials. Keith Peterson. Why wasn't he my... He was there tonight. Why wasn't he my official? Why do you stick a guy like Mario Yamasaki in the main event slot in any case? Could you imagine? Imagine if this was like a world title fight. Imagine if this was Conor versus Tony Ferguson. And Conor's fighting off a choke. And all of a sudden it gets stopped early. You know what I mean? I know that this fight wasn't of that magnitude, but let's put it in perspective. there's something has to be done about it. And I, you know, we're going to seek due diligence. You know what I mean? There really is bullshit. And chances are it's not going to get overturned, but I'm not going to go down without a fight. And best case scenario, I get a fucking rematch in Detroit. I'll fight him in his own backyard. I'll fight him right now. I'm ready to go rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, the rematch. And when I beat him, we can do a trilogy. Let's do it. I'm ready. You know what I mean? If you're going to beat me. Period. He didn't beat me.
Your message and his is pretty clear about, you know, Detroit. You mentioned earlier, is there something going on in Detroit that is unofficial that we don't know about yet? And, you know, is that something you really want to push for?
Dude, I'll push for a rematch in, I don't even know, Tibet. I don't care where the rematch is. But I know he wants to fight in Detroit. He ain't getting the Khabib fight. I'm your Huckleberry. I'm right here. Let's go. Let's run it back. And if you think you really beat me, then beat me again. Prove it. You know what I mean? There's no way you're going to ride this win thinking you won. You did not beat me. You did not beat me. There's no way. I'm fine. I hear he's limping around on crutches. He's supposed to be the striker. I landed one punch and put him on his ass. You know what I'm saying? Let's run it back. I don't blame him. If he doesn't got the stones to do it, fuck it. And from what I hear, he fights dirty. I saw a clip of a replay when he's north-south on the top of my fucking head. You know what I mean? I'm not here to bitch about that stuff, but, dude, I just want my fucking rematch. And if he fucking beats me, then he beats me. But actually fucking beat me this time. This is like grade school fucking JV bullshit, honestly. Sorry if I tried to put together a more articulate way to put it, but there's really no, I can't string together any fancy words to paint a better picture.
And like you said, you know, after the press conference thing, like you lost your cool in that moment, and since then, like he wasn't your bet or anything like that. You know, being so hard on the rematch, is it just because of the result, or is there still like a personal?
There's no personal thing. That's that dude. Like I said, I've been saying it for the last 2 months. It's water under the bridge. I don't care about the press conference. I don't care about the talk. I mean, if I cared about the talk so much, you know, there's things he was saying all week in interviews that I'd be puffing up about. I don't care about that. I think that anybody, any fighter in my position would be as upset as I am right now, whether there was some type of, you know, press conference nonsense or not. That has nothing to do with it. You know, I win this fight, I'm in the top five. I'm on the brink of fulfilling a childhood dream, and I just had the rug ripped out from under me. Who wouldn't be upset? You know what I mean?
When you get that call from UFC, whether it be the upcoming manager, is the rematch the only fight that you're looking at right now, or will you take another fight?
Honestly, I'm going to campaign hard for the rematch. Why not? I mean, listen, people want to see hyped fights. People want hyped fights. They like, you know, the press conference was, to me, stupid, but that's what the fans want to see. Strike while the iron's hot. And the iron cannot be any hotter right now. This whole thing that happened tonight on top of what happened in Dallas, it would be pretty foolish on behalf of the higher-ups in the UFC to not put this fight together. I already called Dana. I already talked to him on the phone. You know what I mean? He had some very choice things to say about Yamasaki. I'm sure you can imagine. But I mean, this is it. You want hyped fights, you know, that's what they want. They want entertainment. They want entertainment. Hey, fighter, you need to be more brash. You need to be outspoken. You need to get people watching your fights. Well, guess what? What else do you got to do to make people want to watch this fight? Let's run it back. I'll finish the job. And then when I finish him, I'll give him a trilogy fight, and then I'll bury the hatchet. I'll beat him 2-1. But the difference is I'll beat him twice. I'll beat him, and I'll let Yamasaki actually be the ref both times. And his poor officiating won't even be able to fucking do anything to the results, because I'll make it very definitive.
Is it safe to say that until you hear otherwise, if there's going to be any preparation, you're going to be preparing for this rematch? And if it doesn't happen, how devastating is that going to be for you?
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought that far ahead. Here's the thing. It's not going to make or break my career. You know what I mean? The people that watch, they know. You know what I mean? You look at the feedback. You know what I mean? So I just don't want it to end like that. I want the rematch. So like I said, if we rematch and he beats me fair and square, then he beats me fair and square the way it should be. That's how it should be done. You know what I mean? We put our asses on the line. We train for 8 to 10 week training camps, grueling. What if I had kids? That win bonus could be a huge difference. You know what I'm saying? We put a lot on the line for these things, and I just want to run it back so that if he beats me, he really beats me. But I want to prove that I was going to win that fight. I want to prove that I got robbed, and I want to prove Yamasaki that he's so fucking wrong that he can't even see straight. It's just bleh. Baffling.
Will you be filing any kind of protest?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sorry for interrupting you. We will be talking to the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission. We will seek due diligence on a few of the matters that happened during the fight, and I just think that's the right thing to do in this situation. This is kind of one of the worst, in my opinion. I mean, I'm a huge fight fan. I watch a lot of fights. All the way across the board, from the B leagues to the top of the pyramid, I've watched all sorts of fights, and even though I haven't seen the fight, this feels like the worst stoppage ever. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's just, guys, why can't I just get beat fair and square? I'm serious. Let's just be honest. Why can't I get beat fair and square? The only guy to beat me fair and square is Jorge Masvidal by a second. I get fucking robbed in Massachusetts, Connecticut. I get robbed in Oklahoma City. To me, I'm unbeatable. The only people that are going to beat me are the refs and the doctors. It's fucking bullshit.
So Michael Chiesa, understandably emotional, wants the rematch. I like his reasoning. I like what he says. Controversy sells, right? And, I do think that a rematch would be, I don't know if I'd say warranted, but I think it would at least be marketable. I mean, this was, these two guys were the storyline all week long. Their emotions between each other, the controversy been building, and then you get this controversial ending. So I do think that a rematch would sell. But if you're Kevin Lee, I understand why you say, look, man, I did what I was supposed to do. Like, maybe it's controversy, but it's no fault of mine. And you can't fault Kevin Lee, and I don't think Mike does. I mean, you can't fault Kevin for doing what he did. He went in there and fought well. I mean, let's say Mike Chiesa was doing well early, and Kevin Lee, lasted through, a couple difficult positions, got out of them, and got a first round choke on a guy that's, not easily finished. And I thought it was an impressive performance by Kevin Lee. And the whole week was an impressive performance. The way he's handled himself in front of the microphone, trying to be, understanding that there's entertainment behind it, that there's, there's something to be marketable other than just skills. And he gets it, and he's trying to bring the whole package together. And, some people aren't going to like him, totally understand that, but he gets it. He's outspoken, and I think that's what you have to do in this sport if you want to get paid, right? I mean, if you want to matter, that's the whole thing. It's just don't be a person that nobody cares about. You got to give people a reason to care about you, even if they just want to see you get your ass kicked. You got to give people a reason to care. And I thought this was a big win for him. And quite possibly the biggest win of his career, regardless of whether you think it was controversial or not. This was a big result for him. And now there's going to be this asterisk next to it. Whether he likes it or not, whether it's deserving or not, there's his detractors are always going to use that as, a way to write him off, so to speak. And I think that's a damn shame for Kevin as well. I think, again, I hate to criticize Mario Yamasaki, but had it gone a little bit further, then maybe there's no question. And, Kevin Lee's riding a 5-fight winning streak now. A couple of performance of the night bonuses in there. He's fought in Northern Ireland. He's fought in Brazil. I mean, he's done some great things in his career already. I think still just 24 years old. Man, the upside is huge on Kevin Lee. He wants to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov yet. Maybe Tony Ferguson. They had a little heated exchange on the post-fight show. But he'd really like to have Khabib Nurmagomedov. Tony Ferguson would be fine as well. Just wants somebody kind of in that top five. So, big things on the horizon. He wants to do it in Detroit. And, he kind of gets this little wry smile. We've heard rumblings that maybe they're trying to do a Detroit show. And, I think this win certainly helps him do that. And, certainly brings his star up to the point where maybe they can. But, when he does talk about it, you'll hear, then, he... He mentions it with a little more confidence than somebody that's just hoping. So, you know, I pushed him out to see if maybe he knows something that we don't. He wouldn't bite, but I think he might know a little something. And we've heard rumblings that they're trying to perhaps put together a Detroit show. I have not heard that it's done. I have not heard that it's, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered. But, you know, maybe tonight was a push in the right direction. So, listen, I did actually briefly. Kevin Lee was going to bed when I got here. He did have a little bit of a limp. He hurt himself a little bit in there. You know, doesn't sound like it's going to be anything too serious, but he's got a little minor injury to deal with. And, you know, he doesn't necessarily blame Mike either. I saw Robert Follis, his coach, as well, and I think we might have Robert back on this week, actually, since we're going to be in Las Vegas. We might grab his time some more. So hopefully you enjoyed his time on the show this past week, and I think we might grab him a little bit more. But, you know, they both kind of said the same thing as well. Not mad at Mike Chiesa. Totally understand why he's frustrated, but you know, they think there's no controversy. They think, look, man, if you watch it close, he went limp. So listen to Kevin Lee, the Motown phenom, tell it himself. And here's what he had to say when he came back after his win at UFC Fight Night 112.
Okay. How do you feel like I'm doing the biggest stage of your career? May have been it.
It feels good, you know. Especially after watching the replay, it feels even better. So, you know, I was a little disappointed I didn't get to show more. It was just going to be four more rounds of that, and I wanted to show some new wrinkles. But, you know, I think I dominated the fight, you know, bell to whistle. So, I mean, I saw what he had on the feet. You know, he only landed one solid, you know, one decent, halfway decent punch. I felt the power, and I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. You know, I even felt him on top of me, and I was like, oh, man, it's over. So as soon as I was in on the hips, I knew it was over, and he ain't had no answer for me.
Did he tap?
He went limp, you know. Even watching the replay, you can see, you know, he's fighting the choke. I switch, you know, from here to palm to palm. As soon as I do, he just, you know, his arms go limp. Mario's a very experienced ref. Mario saw it. Mario stopped the fight. If he wouldn't have, it was still 45 more seconds in the fight. You know, I don't see what the controversy is about. I would have just, you know, it wasn't like I was going to let go. I was going to keep choking him. You know, I had a fully, you know, it was underneath the chin, fully locked in. It really wasn't nothing. He didn't know where he can go. You know, I'm a monster once I'm on the back. My last four fights have all finished the same way. You know, you can't say that, you know, what more can you ask for?
But you get back in there soon? I saw you kind of limping around. Was that a training?
Yeah. You know, no, I hurt my knee a little bit, but I was going to throw it at him. So, you know, I'm going to get back in there. Like I said, I want to fight on the, you know, my goal this year was to bring the UFC to Detroit by the end of the year. That's still my goal. Even, if, you know, I'll fight with a busted ACL. I'm bringing there before December's over.
Do you want to see him again, or are you
going to
move on to a bigger, better thing?
I will, just for the easy money. You know, I felt him on top. I felt what he had to offer. I felt, you know, I felt the speed. I felt the power. Like, I will for easy money, but I'm moving on to bigger and better. That'll wake me up a little bit more to fight one of these bigger names. Guys, they all been looking at me for years, and they all been praying, you know. That's why I went after Tony, because I seen the little piece that he put together. You know, the man don't do his he don't do his job right. You know, he talking about I train at Mayweather 7 days a week. I ain't trained, you know, you can ask my trainer. I ain't trained once there this camp, you know. I turned him down to train with Mayweather to get ready for this. So, I mean, the man need to do his job better. All those guys at the top, they've been watching me. They've been praying on my downfall. They don't really want to see me yet, you know, because they know I'm coming for him. So I'm still on his head. I'm on his head. I'm on Khabib's head. I'm on Barboza's head. I'm on all of them. So I'm after him. And that's what I want next. I want Khabib next. But if Tony or Barboza want it, we can get it in too.
Final question for me is two by question. Is there anybody in the top five, including Conor, that you fear? And give me a breakdown, since you brought up Mayweather. How do you think the Mayweather-Conor fight going to go?
Man, I'll break down each one of them fights and tell you how I'm going to win them fights against each one of them guys. You know, he was number six in the world. This win puts at me at least at number five. The only guys you got above me are Conor, who's booked up, Nate, who's not fighting nobody. You know, then you got Khabib, Tony, and Barboza. So either one of them three guys that want to get it, I mean, that, you know, the other two, they off doing whatever they doing. Congrats to them, make their money. But I'm trying to make my own money. Let's make a real money fight happen here. You know, I guess Tony and Khabib want to run it back on a fight that's fell through three times. I don't think nobody else is looking forward to that build up for that fight again, just for it to fall through again. They obviously don't want to fight each other. You know, let's move on to bigger and better. This is a new generation. Let's get it popping. Like, let's either do that or, like I've been saying before this fight, open up a 165 division. It can be me and Khabib for that number one contender spot. Or, you know, you got a lot of guys from 170 that can come down and fight at the 165 division. You know, you got a couple guys that'll go up to 75, but let's make the 65 division happen. You know, me and Kiesa both stepped in the ring tonight. I'm 181 right now, sitting here. You know, we can bust out the scale. So it don't even make sense for me to fight at 55 again. I will if that's my option. If that's my only option, but I'm pushing for the 165 division.
We didn't get to see the back and forth with Tony because it was on the post fight show. We didn't get to see it, but we certainly saw social media reacting. So, I mean, I guess what was the genesis of that? And I mean, would you prefer that fight now that maybe there's a little?
I saw the little write up that he did, you know, on predicting who won this fight, and the man obviously don't know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? Like I said, he said that I train at Mayweather's, you know, doing the Mayweather shoulder roll style 7 days a week, and I ain't trained there once this training camp. You know what I mean? I turned them down, and Mayweather's gonna pay me good money to spar with him. I turned them down to get ready for this fight. So I mean, obviously, if he's gonna be doing rolls like that, then the man need to do his job better. He need to do his research. He talking about he ain't seen me wrestle. We wrestled at the same goddamn college. So I mean, you know, like if you want to get the, like, these guys, I think even Kiesa underestimated my wrestling. But as soon as I was in on them hips, he was going, you know, he even said that how did I feel about Kiesa DDTing me, you know, and I got him in the air. I don't understand how Kiesa slamming me and I got him in, you know, it don't make sense. These guys, they all just praying on my downfall, because he been watching me ever since, you know, he been watching me for a long time. So, of course, he going pick me to lose, you know what I mean? Because he know I'm the real fight. He'd rather fight Kiesa, too, because that's easier money. But, you know, I guess that's, you know, smart money is easy money.
Kiesa did have a couple decent positions early on. I mean, did you feel any danger? Was the fight going okay?
Like I said, I hurt my knee and I slipped.
You just tweaked it?
Yeah, but I mean, it was just a slip. And as soon as I felt him on top, I was like, oh, this is going to be a little easier than I thought it was going to be. You know, I was getting a little more respect. But, you know, again, it was just going to be four more rounds of the same thing happening. If anything, I was going to beat him up more on the feet. I think I was much more polished on the feet, much quicker. I think he only landed one decent left hand. And once I felt the power of that, I was like, oh, baby, it's over. I'm just going to walk through these punches. So, you know, he was going to have to do something to get some respect out of me.
People are saying it was a controversial ending. I know at the time you couldn't see. You were on the back, so you're not sure. But you have seen the replay.
I could feel him go limp. And, again, like, you know, the choke was underneath the chin. So, I mean, it wasn't like I was going to let go. You know what I mean? I was just going to choke him harder. If anything, it wasn't going to stop me. So, I mean, I don't really see what people are saying. You know, it wasn't like it was only 10 seconds left in a round even. You know, it was still another 45 seconds. It was going to be more of the same. So, I don't get it. But I guess people are going – of course, you know, this is his hometown. You know what I mean? The crowd was against me from the beginning. Of course they're going to boo. Of course they're going to say it was controversial. But it was going to happen either way.
I know you said, you know, people aren't – there's going to be people that just never like you, but they're going to respect you. You feel like you earned some of that respect tonight?
I think so. I mean, and I'm going to keep doing it. If not, then I'm going to just keep on at it.
This matchup, you can talk about it. It was going to be very easy. And Dallas told us that it was going to be, you know, walking the park for you. Surely it was. Felt like you did everything you wanted to do. Was there any credit, anything that you saw that you want to give them credit for?
Yeah, I mean, I never said that. Yeah, I took one thing I did do. I took Kiesa very, very seriously. He is a very, very tough fighter. If you watch his fights, the man knows, you know, he never quits, you know. My game plan was to break him physically before I did mentally. I don't really think he can be broken mentally. It's going to take a lot for that. So I took him very, very seriously. And that's a very, you know, you even watch like our open workouts, you know, we move different. You know, he's very awkward. He's kind of a throwback to MMA. But you can't underestimate that. You know, you can't overlook that, because even with those really awkward, you know, his footwork's terrible. You know, he does a lot of things wrong, but he does them in such a way that he can whoop your ass. So, you know, if you overlook him and you try and take him lightly, I think that's what Beneil Dariush did in his last fight. And you see, I mean, the man's going to keep pushing. He's going to keep coming with them real awkward, you know, slow. They're a lot slower than you think they are. So the timing's a little bit different. You know what I mean? So I took him very, very seriously. And I trained for this fight. That's why I'm a little disappointed. I wanted to go out there and show more fight. I trained for this fight very seriously. I was ready to go out there and fight for five hard rounds.
Would you say the animosity, the buildup up to the fight, did that get squashed today, or do you think that there's future, you know, bad blood here going on?
I didn't really have no animosity towards him, you know? Like, that's just the way I am, you know what I mean? I talk shit and I fight. So I was going to talk shit, win, lose, or draw. I think he's got a little more animosity towards me, you know. Like, I go up to him and, you know, I try to congratulate him, shake his hand, and, you know, he was, you know, he was still kind of pissed. I'm like, okay, I mean, what's up? You want to fight? Like, we, you know, like, I don't get that, you know what I mean? Like, these guys, you know, even at the press conference, I wasn't the one to stand up and say, you know, all the, you know, I never even stood up. Like, what are you going to do? You want to fight? Like, let's fight. Like, we can get it in. Like, I don't really get it. Like, you know, these guys are like, oh, don't do that or else. Or else what, motherfucker? You going to fight? What's up?
Last question for me. Clearly, there was a lot of bullying going on. Our take, I think it was going at the ref. But if any of it was going at you when you were getting off the ring, you had a lot of fans just following you, wanting to get a photo in and everything. Do you think you have a lot of, like, undercover fans that, like, you know,
oh, yeah,
don't
yeah,
really
yeah.
want
to? I got a lot of that. I got a lot more undercover. I got a lot of people that's following me that ain't going to tell you that they following me. Even, like I said, even a lot of these guys at the top, you know, Tony might talk that shit, but Tony's a fan of mine. You know, Tony been watching me for a long time. You know, I came up, we went to the same college. He graduated right before I got there. Tony been watching me for years. He's a fan of mine. You know, when we fought on the same card in San Diego, you know, every time during the open workout, I could see him in the back kind of lurking. And kind of, you know, it's a lot of them. So, you know, they going to be there regardless. You know, maybe people don't show the love just because, you know, I mean, it's whatever. So either way, like I said, love me or hate me, you going to respect me at the end of the day. And if they step into the cage and they don't show respect to my skill, or they think I'm stupid, or they think I'm going to come out and just, you know, go Hail Mary and, you know, do something stupid, then they going to get their ass whooped. They better respect it.
All right, so big things on the horizon for Kevin Lee, no doubt about it. The guy is, I think the guy's a marketable guy. I think he's a star in the making. He's turning in the performances. He seems to only be getting better. Incredible talent, maybe flying under the radar a little bit. You know, for some people, I think this should be not necessarily a star-making performance, but, you know, at least something that gets him on people's radar is somebody they definitely need to be watching. You know, a couple of his fights have been, you know, kind of far-off destinations and again, he hasn't fought the big names, but this is a signature win right here, and I think this proves that he deserves to be at the top of the division. And maybe they can run it back at some point. I don't know that they'll run it back right away. I mean, perhaps the fact that Dana White is so pissed about how it ended, you know, maybe he thinks there's enough controversy that they need to run it back. I don't necessarily know if that will be the case. I don't think it's. I understand why Mike Chiesa would want it, and I'd certainly not be opposed to it. I mean, I said this week, I thought it was the best fight of the week. You know, out of all the fights that were lined up, I thought this was the best fight. And if they matched it up again, I'd still be excited to see it again because these two dudes are talented. And to me, you know, the flavor that was built around the mom comments or whatever, yeah, that's fun. But that's not why I thought it was the best fight of the weekend. It's just because you have two, you know, really talented young fighters that I think both still have great futures. You know, Chiesa said, look, this will not define me. And he's right. I mean, this is not going to make or break his career. But, you know, I'd sign up to see it again, but I just don't know that that's the direction the UFC is going to want to go in right now. I guess the only thing I would say that Mike Chiesa has going for him is the fact that Conor McGregor's out right now. So, you know, there's not like an immediate need to move the division forward. You don't necessarily have to clear out these contenders. You can have a couple of them lining up because everybody's kind of waiting in the wings right now while Conor McGregor is off doing his thing. So, yeah, man, I just think it's unfortunate, and again, I pause to say that, you know, I saw a lot of people, Mario Yamasaki sucks. I don't think he sucks. I think he was right. I think Mike was out, but I don't know he was out. I'm pretty sure he was out, but I don't know he was out, and I wish we could have had that clarity for everybody's sake involved. Kind of the way Mike laid it out, you know, for him, for Kevin, for the fans, for everybody. I just wish it would have gone a little bit longer. So it's tough, man. You know, like talking to Mark Goddard a few weeks ago, I mean, the referees in MMA, you know, don't have nearly as many decisions to make as a basketball referee or a football referee where they're constantly calling fouls and monitoring different things. I mean, there's only a handful of decisions they have to make. But, I mean, it's the only officiating job in all the sports where the call you make ends the game, right? I mean, I can't think of any other sport where you don't get until the clock expires, or you don't get until, you know, the innings are done, or, you know, where you can just call it off. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess a referee can abandon a match in certain sports or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the one time where if you make a call, you're ending a fight. And it's tough. It's tough. Maybe we'll throw that on the list of things we need to talk to Mark Goddard about next time. So, all right, co-main event. Tim Bose picked up a big win over Johnny Hendricks. Second round TKO. Tim looked good. Johnny was fading. I tell you what, you know, I picked Johnny Hendricks coming into this fight. And, you know, we do our picks earlier in the week. And once I saw the weigh-in, I think everybody on staff wanted to change their pick, and understandably so. When he missed his weight from middleweight, I'll never question his ability as an athlete, you know, or anything like that. But doesn't it make you wonder? The natural thing to wonder is what his desire level is at, what his commitment level is at. I mean, he can't make welterweight, and that's fine. You know, weight cutting is not a fun part of the sport, and it's not necessary. I understand why everybody does it, and I don't think we're, you know, any closer to eliminating anytime soon. But when he, you know, if a guy says, "I don't want to weight cut that much," you know, I don't want to make myself miserable. I get that. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But then to miss weight at 185 pounds as well, and to do it in there's this unwritten rule too that I've talked about before, and if you're watching the weigh-in stream, I talked about it. You know, to me, and again, it's maybe it's just me, and I've had some people yell at me about this, but if you're going to miss weight, at least come in at the end of the two-hour window. You know what I'm saying? No, or at least give the appearance that you tried everything you could to make weight. That you waited, exhausted every option. And he didn't do it. And I like Johnny Hendricks, man. You know, he's a former Vegas resident. Used to come in and do MMA Junkie Radio all the time during his WC days. Brought the UFC belt to the radio studio in Las Vegas. I mean, he's a good dude. But you just wonder if maybe his head's not in anymore. Maybe he's done. And I'm not trying to tell him to be done. I'm not trying to retire the guy. But when he misses weight at middleweight, I don't know how you have any other thought than maybe his head's just not in this anymore. So, shame, former champion. This was not good. You know, I kind of thought about picking Tim Bose before the week even began because I knew Hendricks, or at least my thought was always that Hendricks is going to struggle at 185 against some of the bigger guys, and Tim is a bigger guy. But, you know, I thought Hendricks might be rejuvenated and refocused and, you know, happier at middleweight. And that just didn't seem to be the case. You know, I thought he would be performing at a high level. He looked like he was tiring already. You know, and I don't want to take, you know, away from Tim Bolch and not act like he had something to do with that with his performance as well, because he looked good. He was on point, and he said that, you know, the game plan went exactly as he expected. Just frustrating. Frustrating. So credit to Tim Bolch picking up the big win. And listen, he did not hold back. Tim's a polite guy. He's not a trash talker by any stretch of the imagination. But when asked about what he thought when Johnny Hendricks made weight, he did not pull any punches.
Tim, a big win for you. And like I said, you know, the opportunity to fight a former champion was big for you. So what's the emotion like after a victory like that?
It's very exciting, but to be honest, more excited that I went in and executed the game plan exactly how we had envisioned it, and I'd actually thought that we would get the opportunity to throw that head kick in round two. I didn't know exactly when, but I saw the opportunity early, and there it was.
Break it down. What was the game plan exactly?
I wanted to go out there and chop that lead leg. I know that he, you know, just from watching all his videos, you know, he hasn't really changed that much. There was talk of him, you know, with a new striking coach, and he was cutting angles and lighter on his feet. So I was interested to see if that's what I was going to see when I got in there with him, but it wasn't. He was still heavy on that lead leg and loading up that left hand, which I think everybody knows to expect that from Johnny at this point. And the solution to that is chop the heck out of that front leg. I was throwing the teep to the body. That's one of my favorite kicks. I got away from it for a while, but it's back. and that just sets up the head kick then. And it, you know, it works perfect against southpaws. And as you see, there's the result, head kick knockout.
got to ask you, what did when he missed weight, what were your thoughts? I mean, did, kind of unprofessional, but I would think maybe you're like, oh, fine.
No, very unprofessional, but fine, you know. I've been fighting at much heavier weights than this before. But we had joked about that in camp. You know, somebody said, you know, what are the chances of him missing weight at this one? And I said, you know, I don't really care if he does. And I jokingly said he might. And then when Marcus came to me the morning of the weigh-ins and said he was going to miss and not even attempt it, we still had a couple hours or an hour and a half left at that point. It's like, oh, all right, I guess we'll see how this goes. If he's not willing to cut a couple extra pounds, you know, kind of speaks to his professionalism. But you know, he's a former world champ. You can't take that away from him. He'll always have that title. And for me, it was just a great opportunity to get in there and test my skills against him. You know, there was definitely some points in there. He threw that left hand, whiffed by my face a couple times, real close, didn't touch me, but I knew that that's definitely not something you want to get hit by.
And last one for me, certainly a signature win for you now. Where do you think you go from here? I mean, is there something, a date, a name, a time? I mean, what's the plan for you for the rest of the year?
Whew, I don't know. The way my shin's feeling right now, I want a little bit of time off. But I'm the type of fighter who will answer the phone, you know, whenever they call. You know, I don't have anybody specific picked out. I think the UFC does a pretty good job at making fun fights. I know this was a fun fight. It's always, I always like walking out and having a bunch of people booing at me and telling me I'm going to get knocked out. And, you know, they're having fun trying to bust on me, but I had an idea of exactly how it was going to go tonight. It felt good to execute.
You didn't miss weight. You know, obviously, you've seen the past. You know, you said you were joking about it in camp and stuff. When you actually miss the weight, can you get more confidence? Like, say, hey, this is going to be an easy night to be off the street?
In a way, yes, because, you know, I had seen some stuff online, not that I look on, actually Marcus saw stuff, I don't even get on there and look around, but he said that Johnny had been weighing out after practice at, you know, 189 or whatever, so I don't see any reason why he didn't make the weight other than just the lack of discipline and really, maybe he was taking me lightly, I don't know, but anybody who does that probably should rethink.
All right, the featured female bout in the evening, Felice Herrera picked up a unanimous decision win over Justine Kish. I thought this was a fantastic performance. Felice Herrig on a roll right now, you know, has had her critics, has had, you know, those that try to, you know, denounce who she is as a fighter. You know, certainly she's never been afraid to market herself via social media. And I think some people have, you know, taken the way that she handles herself there, you know, the cute pictures or whatever, that sort of thing, and kind of written her off. But she's on a roll right now, and I thought this win was impressive. I mean, I thought beating Alexa Grasso back in February was impressive, and now beating Justine Kish, who Justine Kish is a monster. She is a beast in that weight class, a physical specimen. I think she's really a flyweight who just has found a way to cut down to strawweight. And, you know, I picked Felice Herrig coming into this fight because I just felt that the grappling game, I feel like her grappling improved. I thought she's a more well-rounded fighter than Justine Kish, to be honest with you. I kind of, what we saw, I thought, is what I saw playing out in my head. But spending time around both of them this week, I was like, oh, man, it's the size, the strength, the power of Justine Kish. And, you know, her analysis of her own weaknesses and the things that she needs to improve, very impressive. So, this was one where I thought, John, you might have this one wrong. Not that I don't get a lot of them wrong. I think I'm still in last place in the picks. I'm making improvements, though. I was below 500 for a little bit. That is ridiculous. Below 500. We've rectified that situation. So I'm not trying to act like I never get anything wrong, but, you know, you kind of have expectations or anticipations, but spending time around them, I was like, I don't know. But I thought this was a gutsy performance by Felice Herrig, and another big, big win for her, even though it went to decision. And how in the hell did she not finish this fight in the third round? My God. Justine Kish deserves all the credit in the world because the choke that was on was I literally have no idea how she got out of it. It was amazing to watch. Just guts for days. So, very impressed. Very, very impressed by the toughness of Justine Kish. And I think there's still some upside there. I think she's a 125er. You know, we talked about it earlier in the week, and she said, you know, I can make it. You know, I feel better. I'll think about it in the future. But I got the strawweight thing down. She did make weight. Felice Herrig had said, listen, I expect her to make weight, or maybe we don't fight. She did make weight, no issue. But I think she's a natural flyweight. And I think she'll be one that benefits from moving up a little bit and not having to drain her body. So I think we'll see her do some good things in the flyweight division. But a big win for Felice Herrig and a gut check type win for her. And I tell you what, she was incredibly emotional afterwards. It's something I think you almost need to see to really get the power of it. So I put it on YouTube. She was brought to nearly to tears. I mean, she was fighting back tears, to be honest with you. Matt Wells, who's been on the show before, he was back there with me. Just a handful of people that were back there with me all night, and you know, he kind of asked her a little bit about. She said she doesn't think she's getting the push she deserves in the UFC. She's afraid that they're not gonna push her and not gonna give her. You know, basically what she said is that she feels like the younger, prettier girls are the ones that are getting the opportunities right now, which. You know, I would probably take that as a target at Paige VanZant, maybe. I think that might be where it's targeted at. But, you know, she basically said, I just feel like they're never going to reward me. You kind of heard a little bit in her post-fight comments where she said she's not calling people out anymore because she doesn't get what she wants anyway, so what's the damn point? I think there's some frustrations right now, and she's fighting probably better than she ever has in her entire career. And you look back, I mean, you look back at the people that she's lost to in her career, Paige VanZant, Tecia Torres, Carla Esparza, Barb Honchak. I mean, these are legitimate talents. Her early career, which she'll straight tell you, she knew nothing about, you know, grappling or anything like that in the early days. So she started out her career at 0-2, but, you know, 13-4 since with the four losses to recognizable names and top talents, certainly. So, you know, it feels like everything's clicking for her, but probably worth checking out if you have time. Like I said, I think it's more you got to kind of see the visuals that go along with it as well, and it is on YouTube. It's in the recap of her fight recap, and we'll have a story, I'm sure, on MMA Junkie as well. But very, very emotional win for Felice Herrig. Yeah, and be clear, you know, she went on to say, look, I'm not trying to take a shot, because somebody asked her, a local reporter was like, hey, do you want to you know, send a message to Dana White or whatever, and she's like, no, listen, I'm not trying to make it like that. I'm not trying to, you know, create some kind of beef. I'm just saying I feel like maybe I don't get the same opportunities as I would if I was younger and prettier, which is a tough way to think. I mean, all the stuff you got to do in your fighting career to be successful in MMA, and then you got to worry about how your looks might factor into it. Not fun. All right, another rising star, perhaps Dominic Reyes. My God, 29-second mauling of Joachim Christensen. What can you say? I mean, I tweeted afterwards. I'm like, the good thing, you know, I was working in the back tonight. I was not out there on press row. I was, you know, doing the camera work in the back. And the good, I said, the good thing about it is, you know, back there when you accidentally yell, oh, shit, nobody says anything. And I did. When he landed that left hand, that just obliterated Christensen. I mean, that straight left down the, oh, my God. So nasty. And just in the back, without even thinking, I was just, oh, shit. That was an impressive performance, man. 29 seconds, and this kid looks like he's got star power in the future, a specimen of an athlete. You know, had NFL aspirations at one point. Now feels like he's a legitimate professional athlete in the UFC. Took home a bonus as well in his UFC debut. I mean, this guy is riding high right now, and this was an awesome performance and a great personality as well, man. He says that there's big things on the horizon, so I figured after a crushing knockout like that, you'd probably want to hear a little bit of a guy that looks like he could make some quick waves in that division.
Did you ask for a perfect debut in the octagon?
That would have to be it. I mean, perfect debut right there, coming out. Knockout in the first round against a guy who's never been finished. I mean, a lot of hard work went into that one.
I mean, I know you got to still be pretty emotional right now. But what is the feeling right now? You know, every fighter's dream to come in, I think, and make a debut like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a dream come true, big time. I mean, not only as a fighter, but as an athlete, period. I was kind of shunned by the NFL, and now I'm a legitimate athlete in the world of sports. It means a lot to me. I had quite a bit of emotions earlier when I came in the arena. Teared up a little bit because I'm finally here, you know. It's been a long road, and I'm finally here. And that energy, that fire was able to help me to stay composed and finish the fight.
I know you're no stranger to first round finishes, but I mean, did you think I'm going to be able to come into the UFC and I'm going to get out of there in 30 seconds?
Oh yeah, I'm just kidding. No, I did. Like, that's not something I was like, yeah, I'm going to come in here and knock everybody out. Like, I'm going to grind. I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to outwork guys. I guess I'm going to snipe guys, you know. And I'm a dangerous fighter. Anywhere, at any moment, I feel like I could finish the fight. So that's something I feel like I bring to the UFC.
You took a shot and kind of smiled at him. Is that kind of what was going through your head at that minute? And I mean, did you realize, like, oh, this guy's got nothing for me?
No, it was, all right. I was like, all right, let's fight then. All right. Like, it's hard to explain when I really enjoy it. There's a little sickness inside of me that really enjoys it. When I get hit, it turns it up. It's telling us, like, all right, now we're really playing. And that's really what it was. It was just excitement to be there. It, like, knocked me back to the ground. When he hit me, it was, okay, we're fighting. All right. And that's what happened. And then I turned it up.
Talk about the finishing sequence if you could. I mean, it looked like you thought about maybe throwing the high kick, and then you came back on the left hand.
I did. I jabbed him, and he came back. And I was going to throw the high kick, but he put his hands up. So I read it, and I just fired the two, and it landed directly in the button. I mean, I saw the replay, and it was picture perfect. I mean, everything I was thinking happened exactly at the speed that I wanted it to happen at. My body responded perfectly.
You talked about these punches that you landed, like, literally knocked him off his feet.
I actually knocked a guy out 9 seconds before, same punch. But yeah, against a legitimate opponent, I mean, every opponent I have, I respect and is legitimate. But in the UFC, I mean, he's 14-5. He's never been finished ever. And I mean, I cracked him clean with that one.
You talked about your blood bowl. Is that Latino blood, that La Vida La Loca?
Oh, yeah, man. Living La Vida Loca, man. Feeling a little crazy. I mean, yeah, it's the Latino for sure. As soon as it's that love to fight, that fight inside of us, that it's a very special thing for a fighter to have.
Do you think that left hand be able to draw you some fans and kind of get you a following? And how does it feel to be putting the whole 205 division? If they didn't know your name, they know about that left hand at least.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it brings a following. I mean, everybody likes to see a knockout artist, but not just a knockout artist, somebody who has precision and skill with it. I didn't just wing it. I threw it laser right down the middle. And that's something that could be respected no matter who you are. As far as the light heavyweight division, I mean, if they don't know me, I guess they know me now, and they're going to know the left hand if we ever fight, so.
You think that left hand brought you $50,000 tonight?
That's all I got to say about that.
So what's next for you?
Go back home, enjoy the family a little bit. I mean, the last 5 months, I've been training really hard. Get some injuries, you know, healed, and then see what the UFC has for me. I'm excited about the future, and I'm ready.
Tim Means picked up a welterweight victory over Alex Garcia, unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. Not the most exciting fight, a technical fight, sure. Some good things going on there, but overall I think it fell a little bit flat in front of the crowd. And I think Tim, but just judging by the body language, I don't think he was incredibly happy with how it went either. You know, it was a win, and that's important. He needed to get one after dealing with the stuff that he did with Alex Oliveira. That frustrating two-fight series for him, he gets to put that behind. He did reveal afterwards that he was injured, had a pretty serious injury going into the second fight, but took it anyway. Went down to Brazil, didn't pull out of the fight. He said he got it checked out by the UFC doctors. He wanted to make sure that they knew about it, which is probably pretty good insurance for your career. You know, I know Joe Silva used to be huge about not taking fights if you were injured, because he's like, the last thing I want to hear is some excuse. You know that. Well, I didn't perform because I was injured, because don't, you know. So he was always saying, like, dude, just don't take the damn fight if you're injured. Just don't take it, because I don't want to hear it. Well, it sounds like Tim, you know, let the UFC know that he was injured, but he was going to try to fight through it, and it didn't work out very well for him. Now, he went out of his way to say, he's like, I'm not making an excuse, but I was unhealthy, and behind the scenes, everybody knew it. So, you know, did say it just felt good to be healthy again, felt good to get 3 rounds in, and said that, you know, he wouldn't mind facing Alex Oliveira somewhere down the road a third time to kind of maybe even the score a little bit. He did say he doesn't want to go to Brazil to do it, but maybe they can meet over in Europe. And I don't know if Poland's too far off in November or something. That's a ways out. But, I mean, those two guys are going to be put on exciting fight anytime they come together, right? I mean, just the way their styles match up, it's going to be fun. And, I think traveling the world like we've been doing lately, I think the things you find is that, in the regional markets, they want to fight. They want to see their local guys, of course, but they don't want to just see their local guys. You know, they want to see some people that they've seen on TV. They want to see some stars from the UFC, from other countries that they wouldn't get to see, you know, that they've never seen fight on the regional stage, that they've never done. So, I wouldn't see it being a horrible idea to put Means Oliveira 3 together and put it on a European card, maybe an Asian card, who knows, something like that. I mean, I think it would be fun. I'm sure Alex Oliveira is probably happy to move on as well, but I don't know. I think it's something you could put together. There's some story there, there's some history there, and especially with Means saying he was hurt, now there's some interesting new information as well, so it wouldn't be the worst thing ever. Dennis Seaver picked up the majority decision win over BJ Penn. I was a little surprised it was a majority decision. Thought it would be a unanimous decision. I had picked Dennis Seaver. It's another one, too. I'd picked Dennis Seaver coming into this fight just because I felt like there were question marks around BJ Penn. You know, the Yair Rodriguez fight, to me, told me nothing about BJ Penn. That was just a matchup that I don't think many people understood to begin with. You know, you got this young stud, against an aging legend. It just didn't tell me anything. You know what I mean? This was a fight that told me something. And, I tell you what, though, this week, speaking to BJ, and it wasn't the hard sell, BJ. You know what I mean? In Arizona earlier this year, man, he was trying to sell us. You know, it was like we knew he was selling us something. But damn it, he gets speaking, and it's captivating, right? But this wasn't a hard sell, BJ Penn. You know, this was just him keeping it real. But man, when he weighed in, I don't know if you guys saw the video or the pictures of him on the scale. I thought he looked really good. In fact, I even told him afterwards. He came by after the weigh-ins and just said hello real quick. And I was like, bro, you look in great shape. He's like, right? He's like, I don't look fat up there. I look like I'm in shape, right? He's like, it's Marinovich, bro. He's like, he got me back. And I'm like, okay. And that was one in the same way that I wanted to change my pick on Johnny Hendricks. Because of how he, the way he looked on the scale, but in a negative way, BJ Penn had me question myself. I was like, oh, I might have screwed up here. Picks are locked, so I couldn't change anything. But it didn't go that way tonight, and it's a shame. BJ faded bad in the third. I mean, credit to him. I mean, I thought Dennis Seaver looked good. Dennis Seaver was prepared for this fight, and BJ still flattened him in the second round, which was awesome. I think that's a little jolt of electricity through the building. Just, oh my God, he still got it. What's he gonna do here? And ultimately, he faded in the third round. Seaver actually came in afterwards and said, and he was going through a translator, and I think some of it, I don't know if some of it was kind of a little sarcasm, a little humor. He said that actually. Being knocked down actually gave him a little chance to rest and to kind of get a little bit of extra energy in his tank for the third round. So, I don't know if that was his attempt at a little bit of humor, but he said that helped him rest up. And certainly he pulled away in the third round. BJ Penn was taking damage and just faded. And it's tough, man. BJ says he still loves to fight. He still has passion for the sport. Got to respect that, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like we do know more about BJ Penn now. We know he's never going to fight for a title again. We know he's not on the level of elite competition. He's still got natural abilities, right? I mean, that guy is still a fighter at heart. And maybe there's some matchups you can make, but I don't know that there's going to be any matchups that are, truly enticing for the fans. I don't know. I think there's still some fights to be had, just in name recognition alone. And if that's what he wants, I mean, certainly, again, a guy that you could bring to Europe, a guy that you could bring to Asia, a guy that, some people, it's still cool, man. It's still cool. It's still BJ Penn. It's just like, watching a 40-plus-year-old Anderson Silva, like, maybe he's not what he once was, but it's still Anderson Silva. And there's something to be said about still BJ Penn. It's had he gotten mauled again, like he did against Yair Rodriguez, then maybe you go, nah, man, I can't see this anymore. But he didn't get mauled. He did get outworked, and I thought it was clear that he lost the fight. So I know that he's not, you know, ready for elite competition anymore, but, you know, I think there's still some fights. I just don't know if there's any fights that, you know, are pay-per-view worthy or they're necessarily going to satisfy, you know, your hardcore fan that just only wants to see the best fights. I think at this point it's I hate to say novelty fights, but it's just a chance to see BJ Penn fight. So prelims wrapped up with Clay Guida picking up a big win over Eric Koch. And Koch looked good this week as well, man. I thought physically he was in great shape. You know, looked to be well prepared. Talking to some of his coaches, he was mentally dialed in. Everything was good. And Clay Guida just came in and beat him. Simple as that. Just came in and beat him. I thought Guida looked absolutely fantastic. Just honestly, one of the best performances of his career. And vintage. I mean, vintage Clay Guida, right? The move back up to lightweight probably had something to do with that. I mean, he's always got energy, right? But man, on the scale, he looked ripped. Man, and this just impressive performance. I mean, this is what you expect to see out of Clay Guida. And can't say enough about the performance. The crazy kick that he had there, the scorpion kick, I think some people were calling it. That was fun to see, but you know, it was really just the bread and butter. And Justin Buchholz afterwards was so fired up. He was like, "Clay Guida is my hero, man." You know, he was funny, and Justin's funny, man. He is so proud of that team at Team Alpha Male, and he feels like they don't get the credit they deserve. Justin Buchholz, you know, said, "Listen, if you just bet underdogs, you know, Team Alpha Male, all you'd be a rich man by now, because, you know, I feel like we're an underdog every single time out." And Clay had nothing but good things to say. But Clay also said, "Listen, watching the Bellator show, watching Fedor Emelianenko made me realize, you know, like I don't want to fight when I'm 40, and he's 35 right now. So I don't want to fight till I'm 40. You know, I don't want to be doing that. I want to start transitioning to being a coach, to helping our athletes develop, that sort of thing. You know, I'm almost out of it. You know, and I don't think retirement is imminent. I mean, he's 50 pro fights into his career. You know, 14 years in the sport, pretty damn incredible. You know, I don't think he's saying he's ready to walk away now, but I think he was definitely saying, look, I see the end coming. So, yeah. Big, just a great performance, I thought, from Clay Guida, and I thought a very honest and kind of inspiring interview after. So here's what Clay Guida had to say when he came to the back.
Well, I guess, all right, sorry, just go ahead and tell us how it feels, man. I know you had a couple disappointing losses, and to come in and get a dominating win like that, I mean, what's the feeling right now?
Dude, it's been a long time coming, 2 freaking years, man. I think, Fairfax is the last time we won a fight, so it doesn't seem that long maybe in the eyes of other people, but myself, I wouldn't call it a losing streak, but my brother told me, you know, momentum, just staying active and putting wins together in the same year and being able to get in there every few months, just, you know, you start building momentum, you know, and having a couple years without a victory, some tough fights, you know what I mean? It kind of, I guess you could say, it throws you off a little bit, but yeah, it's nice to get back in the winning ways, stronger, faster, more confident than ever, and Back at 55, where it belonged, I guess.
You say, you know, it might have been your best performance, I mean, ever. That was just incredibly dominant. But I wonder, you know, during those losses, you know, was there ever any part of you that thought, man, I've been in this game, you know, 50 fights, 14 years, maybe my day passed me by?
I try not to, you know, think about it like that, because as long as I'm having fun and I feel like I'm improving, there's always going to be those bumps on the road. You know what I mean? The greatest fighters, you know, in the world don't always get their hands raised. You know, one of my heroes last night, Fedor, you know what I mean? The first time that I saw him lose in forever against Verdun, I mean, I felt like it took me 2 or 3 weeks to actually believe that, you know, Verdun triangled him or armbar him. I couldn't believe it, you know what I mean? So even the greats, you know, have a bump in the road once in a while. And I never look at it as maybe, you know, it's a young man's game, because I'm still young, man. I'm in my mid-30s. And the scientists do studies. They say the male is in their peak in the mid-30s still. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm at a very strong weight class again, very competitive, but I feel as strong as I ever have. And I'm improving with the coaching staff at Team Alpha Male, and we're getting better every day out there.
You touched on going back to lightweight. You think that's where the rest of your career lies?
That's where I've had the most success, you know? I think maybe the 45 thing was maybe a pride thing for me, just to, you know, say I knew I could make it. I knew I could stay there and be competitive. But I, you know, I beat some good guys and I lost to some good guys. You know, I think it was more of a for me, it was kind of a wrestler's thing. I can make the weight. I'm stubborn. I wrestled 149 in college. I can make 145 and be tough there. You know, but being tough isn't always the right thing. The right recipe. Winning is the right recipe. So, 55, I feel great. I woke up at 155 and a half for winning day. I didn't have to do anything except walk around to the, jump on the scale. So
that's awesome.
Makes sense.
And last thing for me, I got to ask you one thing in the fight. The kick in the opening round, where scorpion kick there, I think people were calling online. What was that? Where did it come from?
It was probably nowhere near, but I felt like his head was right there, so I tried it. How far away was I? 2-3 feet?
It looked like it almost landed.
Okay, I couldn't tell. I was like, oh, and then I tried it again, and I was probably further off. I kind of, you guys can't,
see,
you can't
before?
See my face, no, you guys can't see my face down there, but I was laughing at myself. I'm like, yeah, why not, you know? And then I was thinking about the old John Jones when he goes to a simple and then does the spinning back elbow, but he's a whole different freak of nature, right? You know, I don't want to give up my back, you know, willingly. So it was something I tried, video game stuff, you know?
So you seen that second round, once you came off the second round, it was like, you know, he couldn't take that pressure. Did you feed off that?
Yeah, you know, because I actually had I had the first round maybe going his way because he kind of stopped two takedowns. Well, I mean, they were close, but he had him to the fence, but I wasn't able to really solidify a takedown. So I was like, okay, I got to do something now, you know, because it was pretty even. But to me, if you don't get the takedown, you stop it. That's more points for the guy that counters him. So then I knew I had to get my stuff going. And then once we buzzsawed him in a second, I knew to follow the recipe, get him to his back again. And he's slick. I've seen him choke guys. He's got a funky grip. But once he fell to his butt, I knew we just had to jump on. I don't mount guys. These guys know in practice I'm not good in the mount. And I thought he was going to bump me. And towards the end, yeah, he ended up getting me off him at the last 10 seconds. But I knew we had to fight in the bag. So
how much tough. Did you experience the fact that you're better in the game and the fact that you've made strides, you know, you ain't got the W's or so come into play?
That's a good question. You know, it's I knew once we hit the second round, I was just like, okay, we got this. Just be smart. Don't get crazy. Don't start, you know, dropping your hands. Don't get sloppy. Don't get careless. Just stay in there. Keep working the stuff coaches were telling you. Get him to the fence. Get him down and get the W. You know, I was trying to get him out of there. I was trying for the head and arm choke. I was landing elbows and knuckles to the side of his head. But he's tough, man.
And my final question for me, expand upon it, like, because I'm one of the few people that cover UFC and boxing. Mm-hmm. People understand, regardless if you're Mayweather or Fedor, it's a young man's game. And talk about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was thinking last night, I had to look back at the when they showed Mitrione and Fedor, and I'm like, how old is he? I was thinking, like, 42, and they're both 40.
You mean Till and Vanderlei?
Fedor. Yeah, Fedor's 40. You know what I mean? But that dude, he's timeless to me. You know what I mean? I think you can fight anybody, but I don't want to be doing this when I'm 40. You know what I mean? I love Fedor for being the man that he is, and I feel like the dude sits in the locker room, plays cards in his jeans with his feet up, eats a 12-pack of donuts, and then they say, all right, Fedor, you're on. He just jumps up and goes out and fights. And to me, that's just awesome. The guy's like he's a master. It's not for everybody, but I don't want to be fighting when I'm 40. I want to be, you know, coaching and helping, you know, coach wrestling and things like that and watching all these stables of fighters we have, you know, improve. But it is a younger man's game.
All right, Marvin Vettori picked up a unanimous decision win over Vitor Miranda. Marvin Vettori, the Italian fighter who has relocated to California to step up his game, so to speak. And I told you guys going in, I thought this would be a fun fight stylistically. You know, it wasn't the greatest fight of all time, but you knew it was two guys that were going to go kind of trying to stand and bang and, two trained kickboxers. So it was a good fight. Marvin Vettori, unanimous decision win. Didn't get to come speak to the media after. He was actually transported to the hospital for a chest x-ray. And actually, it's kind of funny. He was having a cocktail down here in the bar as I walked in. He said he's good. He said there was just, you know, an axe kick that Vitor Miranda threw that hit him right in the sternum. And it was causing him some pain. But nothing fractured. He got an x-ray. He's good. He's healthy. And ready to move on to the next challenge. He's a kid that, he's got some talent. He's definitely got some talent. And you know how it is when you represent a nation, you know, when you're one of the few fighters in that nation, you know, there's some appeal. And so I think he's somebody that could be valuable to the UFC. You know, and again, made the move to the United States to try to improve his game and to keep himself progressing. And so somebody maybe to keep an eye on. You know, if you're not familiar with him, he was on your radar. Maybe somebody that should be. Carlos Esparza picked up a unanimous decision win over Marina Moroz. Carlos Esparza's wrestling was just on point. Way too much for Marina Moroz. Moroz has some talent. I mean, she's a good striker. And, you know, I honestly thought that her range, you know, Carla's, of course, used to being the shorter fighter. She's a pretty tiny athlete. But, you know, I thought Moroz's range and her striking abilities might give Carla Esparza trouble. And it was just not to be. Carla was dominant in this fight, taking the fight to the floor at will, just all over it. I mean, can't say enough. Carla, you know, still has some work to do, and she knows it, former champion, but, you know, has had some losses, still has some work to do before she makes it back to a championship caliber, you know, level. But this was a big win for her, and she was dominant, and she was pretty happy about it afterwards. So somebody else that was happy, Daryl Horcher, with the win over Devin Powell. Split decision win there. I thought this was a pretty clear 2-1. I was a little bit surprised with that score. Daryl Horcher did take home the win over Devin Powell. Great story. Daryl Horcher, such a fantastic story. You know, if you remember, Horcher, of course, came in on short notice and fought Khabib Nurmagomedov in his UFC debut. Good luck with that, bro. But, you know, took the suicide assignment, you know, knowing that the UFC would probably bring you back, and lost that fight, predictably. And then, you know, had a horrific motorcycle accident, and that could have ended his life, and did cause some issues for him, and you know, doctors telling him he probably would never fight again, and he made his way back, and just an incredibly emotional victory for him as well. And it's funny because he's a guy that says he doesn't really get emotional. He doesn't consider himself an emotional guy at all. But even he said this was a pretty special night for him. And his wife actually came back there with him to the press room, and it seemed like he was going to tear up for a minute. He fought it back, and he was like, "No, I wasn't." And even she said afterwards, like, "It sounded like you were about to cry." So it was a pretty special night. Definitely worth checking out that interview as well, because this was pretty cool. You talk about battling back from something like that to fight, man. It's pretty special. Jared Gordon picked up a TKO win. Looked good. Certainly, you know, was kind of sullied up by the fact that he missed weight. The guy admits he's pretty much snake bitten. You know, he got food poisoning ahead of what was supposed to be his UFC debut and wasn't able to fight. In this one, he missed his weight. It admitted, you know, he was just a little too heavy, and, you know, apologized profusely for it. He apologized in the cage afterwards. He also apologized to us as well. Again, if you want to check out that full interview, it is on YouTube as well. We'll have a story on MMA Junkie. He did apologize for missing weight. Said he'd love to fight, even on the Long Island card. He's a New York guy. He said he loved fighting the Long Island card. It does sound like the UFC will be back at Madison Square Garden later this year, either November or December. He said, put me on that card. He's like, I know it's kind of a ways away, so, you know, maybe he'd like to get something in between, but definitely love to fight on one of those New York cards. He said he'll keep himself ready in case anybody falls off the Long Island card. He'd be ready for that too. So, you know, a guy that picked up his debut win against a tough Michelle Quinones, man. That dude did not want to go away, man. But Jared Gordon, relentless. And did get the finish. Tony Martin picked up a unanimous decision win over Johnny Case. I thought Tony Martin looked great. I honestly thought Tony Martin looked fantastic. These two guys had a little bit of beef. I didn't really know about it before fight week, to be honest with you. And really, honestly, until weigh-in day, they were just chatting with each other. And actually, it was kind of funny because I overheard a conversation of security kind of talking to each other. Hey, is there anything we need to watch out for? And their names were brought up. Like, hey, FYI, these two guys are not fans of each other, and so we probably need to watch them a little bit for the face-offs. And yeah, when they came together, they were jawing at each other a little bit. So this was a bit of a grudge match. It was cool to see, though, afterwards they both, you know, given a lot of respect to each other. That's I love that part of the sport, right? Two guys that absolutely hate each other, but you go in there and bang in the cage for 15 minutes, and suddenly you punch all that anger out of you, and you get some respect for the guy that stood on the other side of the cage. So I thought that was pretty cool to see. But I thought Tony Martin looked really, really good here. And, you know, a guy that had struggled and you know, was in danger of losing his job is now on a nice little win streak. And he says, you know, still gaining confidence. He's like, but I know I can bang with anybody. I know that I have the ability to be the best fighter in the world. And he got kind of hated on for that. I saw in some of our comments and stuff, but got to respect the guy for that, have that confidence in himself. And I thought he looked phenomenal. And Jeremy Kimball, big first round victory over Josh Stansberry. Jeremy Kimball, I thought very cool as well. You know, admitted after he lost his UFC debut, he was kind of in a dark place, man. He's like, it sucks to, you know, to lose at the highest level and, you know, to feel like, and I was just, you know, I was nervous leading into this. And then he came out and the grizzly mauled Josh Stansberry, so to speak. Got the right hand. It was funny because it was kind of a weird angle. He rocked him a little bit, and Stansberry turned, and Kimball kind of hit him over the ear, like with a little shot over the shoulder. It wasn't necessarily the cleanest technique, but it was incredibly effective. He was like, I didn't care, man. I was hitting him with whatever I could hit him with to get this fight over with, and he picked up the big win as well. So good stuff. Overall, I thought this was a good card. I know it's, you know, a Sunday night card, and I'm sure there were some people that couldn't stay up late. They had work and things to do, but overall, I thought this was a pretty fun card from top to bottom. A lot of good fights, a lot of good stories on the card, and I enjoyed it. Capped off a busy weekend, right? After the Bellator event, I should say we got to have fun. Quite a bit of people that are in town for the event got together at a Twin Peaks and were able to watch the card and have a few frosty beverages together. You know, it's rare that you get to have a Saturday night off, but I had worked the morning time. Doing the weigh-ins in the morning, then covered the Cage Warriors card in the afternoon, so I ended up with the evening off, and was able to just sit back and have a few frosty beverages at Twin Peaks and watch a fight card, and a wild fight card it was, man. Enjoyed it quite a bit. It's fun to be able to do that every now and then. So, all right, well, listen, we'll be back. The MMA Road Show will be back. No events this week. May have a really good, I'll just say it. I'm scheduled again for the long-awaited interview with Dana White. It's scheduled for Thursday. We'll see what happens. I basically checked to confirm it this week, and I did get it's still good for now. I was like, well, I appreciate the honesty there, because I know Dana's schedule changes from time to time. So hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, we'll finally get that long damn awaited interview going with Dana White. And again, we're trying to set up to do more frequently, you know, once a quarter or so. You know, he's not going to give us weekly time or monthly time, but, you know, maybe once every 2 or 3 months just to check in with him, get the latest headlines. Is there anything we can ask him about? Yeah, there are some things we could ask about. I can't even get into it. Let's just say there's some weird things going on with the flyweight division. Let's say that. My man Steven Morocco was all over it. There's some weird things going on with the flyweight division. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. And that's all I can say right now, because nobody will go on record. But nobody would go on record denying that there's stuff going on. So how about that? If there was anything going on, you think people might want to go on record and be like, that's stupid. That's crazy. And they're not doing it. They're not doing it. Also, hey, Courtney Casey thing. I'd kind of heard some rumblings this was going to happen. It broke this week. Happy for her. She's somebody that I saw a fight in Tough Enough, and I've always been a fan of her. I think she has no shits about fighting the toughest people in division. Every time out, you look at her record. I mean, it's not the most stellar record, but look at who she's fought. It's crazy, right? And she was flagged as having elevated testosterone. Turns out she just has naturally occurring elevated testosterone. Her USADA biological passport proves that she's generally around a 6-1 instead of the 4-1 that Texas limits at. And the bottom line is Texas, my home commission, they screwed up. They basically announced a false positive without proving it first, and they did secondary testing was done on the sample, and it proved that there was no presence of synthetic testosterone whatsoever. So it's kind of a win for Courtney Casey, except that as of right now, Texas is not admitting their fault. Basically, they're not retracting the positive, which is screwed up, to be honest with you. So if you're in Texas, put some pressure on your commission there, because they jacked this one up, and they need to fix this. They as it was told to me by one UFC official, I mean, they want the UFC wants the athletes to buy into the USADA program, and by a large part they do, right? They want people to buy into drug testing all across the board. But when you've got a commission essentially announcing test results inconclusively, not waiting to do what you need to do, because when you see, you know, elevated testosterone, that in itself is not necessarily an issue until you prove that there's synthetic testosterone in there, and that was not able to be done. So, yeah, frustrating for Courtney. From what I understand, you know, it's just been a pain in the ass on her family. You know, she's got kids in school, and her, you know, they're messing with her kids, saying that your mom's a cheater or whatever, and it turns out that that's not the case. Come on, man. Texas, step your game up. That's my home commission. Step your game up. Apologize for that. Admit what you did was wrong, and let's move forward. Let's do this. There's a good – Steve Morocco did a good story. I was at the weigh-ins, I believe, when this happened. Media Day. I was at Media Day when this occurred, and he was able to get a hold of Jeff Nowitzki, actually, the drug czar there. Jeff Nowitzki, for those that don't know, had actually just undergone a little bit of a surgery this week to deal with some issues he was having. And he was so fired up that he said, F my surgery recovery. Like, yeah, I'll go on record with you guys. I'll help, you know, talk to you guys. But he's fired up. So good for Courtney Casey, but this thing's not over yet. Hopefully Texas will step their game up. All right, well, listen, I got to pack. I got to leave. I got to go to the airport soon. And I've got a few more frosty beverages that I bought just before the bar closed that I need to consume. We don't want to waste money. And it's been crazy. 5 fights, 5 weeks on 5 different continents. Hopefully you joined at least some of those and enjoyed the content. I'm glad to get back to doing and a half because I love talking about the fights. I always hate it when I'm flying home and I haven't talked about it, damn it. I'll get on edge. I want to talk about them too. I love the fights. Anyway, hopefully you guys watched this. If not, it was fun. I will go back and watch some of these fights. It was very entertaining. And, yeah, I'll be with Cold Coffee next week. Maybe we'll have a little Dana White idea. We'll find out. In the meantime, thanks for listening.